Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. We want to thank you all for spending your Memorial Day with us as Fox Sports honors this important day of remembrance. We got a lot to get to over the course of the next 3 hours this morning. We're going to focus mainly on sports because that's what we do best. And we are going to start with the Eastern Conference Finals because that, for Toronto, was what was best. It was a Saturday night to remember for Canada. Bucks-Raptors Game 6. Kawhi Leonard fully justifying his trade to Toronto last year, posterizing Giannis to cap off a 26-3 run by the Raptors. Kawhi Leonard finishing off with 27 points, 17 rebounds, 7 assists, and a series win and a trip to the finals. Bucks are going home after losing 4 in a row. Raptors advance to their first ever NBA Finals, where they will face the Golden State Warriors. Here's Kawhi after the historic performance.
It's great. You know, I worked so hard to get to this point with the season I had last year. You know, just always betting on myself and knowing what I feel and, you know, what's right for me. I don't really judge my, you know, game like that. I'm more of a team aspect, see what my team is doing. Just want to win. I don't care about being the best player. I want to be the best team. I always said that. And, you know, just before the season when we made the trade, Masai felt that way about me. He told me how he felt and why he made the trade. And, you know, it's turning out. It's turning out well now. I mean, we're in the finals and we're not done yet.
Kawhi is like, I don't know how many more good things I can say about him, right? I mean, he's just so good. And again, I'm seeing a level of competitive greatness out of him. I mean, it's just his willing us to win and him willing grabbing those rebounds and willing those shots in almost, it seems like, and going down and locking up somebody and taking the ball from them. It just, it's what it is. It's great competitive, it's great competitive desire.
It's taken a long time to get here in my career, 13 years, 7 years here. I've ran to one guy for a while and, you know, we were given opportunity, he left, and we beat a really good team in Milwaukee. For me, you know, I'm savoring the moment, but, you know, I'm not satisfied.
All right, CeCe, what a turnaround for this Raptors team in this series against Milwaukee. How did they do it? How did the Raptors come back from being down 0-2 in the series and then winning?
Well, it's easy to say Kawhi. It's easy to just talk about him and his dominance on the offense and defensive end. But collectively, you can talk about all the guys that were there in the press conference. I believe that the coach did a tremendous job keeping faith in his team, especially in players like Powell and Van Fleet, Norman Powell and Van Fleet. Van Fleet was playing awful, but he caught fire. But the coaching staff continued to play them. Compared to, on the other side, Coach Bud, Mirotić. He benches him game number 5 after he had struggled in the previous series. So how is the team going to duplicate what they did in Milwaukee, what they did in the regular season, the postseason? They weren't able to do it. And from a defensive standpoint, people won't want to talk about it, but Toronto was the better defensive team. I thought they were in the Final Four. They were the best defensive team. The stats would say that the Bucks were. But the Bucks' inability to be able to guard the three-point line, that didn't hinder them during the regular season. It did come back to be able to bite them. The weakness in their defense, because they led the NBA in defense. In the playoffs, it's a different story. Toronto became far more physical. Their role players hit more shots. Bench scoring, first 3 games of the series, bench of the Bucks scores 43 a game. The other 3 games, they score 20 a game. So the adjustments, I would say, are the subplots. But ultimately, it comes back, who was the best player on the court? In basketball, most times, you're going to win. In the game that's played on 94-foot court, the guy that's the best player, because he's playing both ends of it, Kawhi Leonard was the best player in this series.
And that's what Kyle Lowry alluded to. He said, you know, we kept running into one guy. You kept running into a team where you didn't have the best player on the court. And this time, you did have the best player on the court. Listen, I obviously got this dead wrong. I said a couple weeks ago the Bucks were going to win the championship, and as of 10 days ago, I felt better about that than I did when I first said it. They're up 2-0 in this series. They had just blown out Toronto in game 2, and even after game 3, that was a double overtime game. That was a game where Milwaukee had multiple chances to win the game and win the series, essentially. Because you go up 3-0, no team's ever come back from that. Only a handful of teams ever even forced a game 7 after being down 0-3. But that was the turning point in this series. The Raptors in that game were able to close it out. They then blow them out in game 4. And then what is the story of game 5 and 6? Period, point blank, the Raptors had a closer and the Bucks right now did not. And that is not an indictment on who Giannis is going to be. That does not take away from what he did during the season. But at the end of these games, the Raptors were able to run the offense they wanted to run. They were able to take away exactly what the Bucks wanted to do. And when all else failed, the Raptors could say, Kawhi, get us a bucket or at least get us a good shot. And the Bucks could not do that. The Raptors could do that, I should say. And the Bucks could not do that. It really is, to me, it is you, all the points you make that I was saying, can you even keep playing Van Vliet? And then you started shooting 85% from three. The minutiae of the Bucks' number one defense in basketball, despite allowing the most three-pointers in basketball, came back to haunt them. All those things mattered. But the headline of this was Kawhi Leonard, a more veteran player, a more seasoned player, seized the moment, and Giannis, in his first big moment like this, couldn't do it. And I don't think that speaks to his future, but it speaks to the present. You're absolutely right. The best player going into the series, I thought, was Giannis. The best player coming out of the series, without question, was Kawhi Leonard.
When Nick Nurse was asked what was the difference after Game 2, what was the turnaround, what was the biggest adjustment you guys made to compete with the Bucks, he said, we needed to be more physical. We just weren't that physical with them. We needed to set more screens. We needed to spend more time with Kawhi on Giannis and really try to stop him. But in the end, it seems like what you said was right. This Toronto team, they didn't get overwhelmed by being down 0-2. They had the experience and the wherewithal to know if they just kept their game going, they were going to stay in this series. And Milwaukee, it seemed like, were the ones that were a little rattled and shaken and ended up losing 4 in a row. Do you think that being physical was the turnaround for this team?
Well, they had to yuck up the game. Toronto doesn't have the type of team that they're going to allow Giannis to get out in the fast break. There are a lot of teams. You look at the Clippers. How did the Clippers make a series of the Warriors? Man, they got physical with it. It is a critical part of basketball. And the way the Bucks want to play, they want Giannis to play downhill from the point where he orchestrates the offense. And if you're not physical with them, he's just going to finish with dunks in the lane or dishing out to open three-pointers. So, yeah, Nick Nurse had it right. Yes, it is time to be able to get physical, but more importantly, let's put our best player on their best player. And those adjustments won out this series because Kawhi in head-to-head, and typically we don't see this. We don't see the best players guarding each other on both sides of the court. But Kawhi took the challenge, and he slowed down Giannis, and then ultimately it got in Giannis's head. He didn't want to go to the hole as much. He didn't want to get fouled. The free throw shooting was awful.
It's a huge
and
problem.
You could tell how it changed his game. So his game has got to grow. You still, Jenna? We're going to keep saying this. He's not Ben Simmons, but his mid-range games in the playoffs, he doesn't have one. And you could see it late in the game. He's 5 feet away from the bucket, wasn't even looking to score, looking more to pass.
And the Raptors' veteran team understood much better than the Bucks. The difference between being up or down 13 to 15 and being up or down 22 to 23. And by that I mean there were multiple times in games 5 and 6 where Milwaukee got separation, looked like they were taking control. And that is where a veteran team in the moment.
A special team, not just veteran teams.
For sure.
A team that's going to have a special season.
What they do is they step on your throat. They turn 14 into 24 and it's over. And on the flip side, where a veteran or a potential special team recognizes these next 5 possessions are the biggest possessions of our season, certainly of the game. We cannot let 14 turn into 24. So what did we see at the end of third quarter of game 6? With 2.5 minutes left, Milwaukee's up 15 points. At the end of the quarter, it's only 5 because Toronto bared down as part of a 26-3 run that flipped the entire game. Milwaukee was not equipped for the moment. It's wildly disappointing for them, but credit to the Raptors for the greatest moment in the history of their franchise.
All right, time now for Put a Grid On It, sponsored by CarMax. So Kawhi's masterful playoff run continued on Saturday. the Claw finishing 27-17-7 to advance the Raptors to the first ever NBA Finals. See, put a grade on Kawhi's performance on Saturday.
I don't know what else you can get in the class. I mean, he gets it all. A+. He was outstanding. The defense part of it was amazing to see. And since game three earlier in the game, he was never 100%. He had a little tendonitis in his left knee. Then the right injury from what happened in San Antonio began to bother him a little bit. So A+ for Kawhi.
Has to be an A+. And through three rounds of the playoffs, I think everyone would agree, Kawhi has been the best player in the league these playoffs. So Kawhi gets an A+. He was spectacular.
Raptors going for the finals for the first time in their 24-year history. They'll face the Warriors. We will talk much more about this, but coming up, what made the Greek Freak storm out of his post-game press conference? That's next on FS1. You can always check us out on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM. We will be right back. Welcome back. All right, we'll get to Giannis storming off in just a second, but first, some Game 6 highlights. Chris Middleton with the turnaround three to beat the shot clock.
This is one of those moments when a team hits shots like this. It's like, oh, we're going to lose if you're the Raptors. Late in the shot clock, this, I think, pushed it to 14. And from that moment forward, really.
And we like Middleton as a player, but this was not a good series for him.
Nope.
Their number two player, if he's Chris Middleton, that organization has to look at, do we need a better player?
All right. Next up, Kawhi driving to the hoop, denied by Giannis.
What was huge here was the Siakam.
This rebound.
Was late in the game. This could have been as iconic as the Kawhi dunk. But Giannis with a great play, but Siakam's right there. They get the 2 points anyway. I think that pushed it to 5. Critical late.
I love the fact Kawhi tried to dunk it, and Giannis, oh my goodness. That's the NBA at its best there. Yep.
All right, finally, Kyle Lowry delivering the nice shovel pass to Kawhi for the one-handed dunk over Giannis.
This was the capstone of a 26-3 run that turned a 15-point deficit into an 8-point lead that seemed to really put Toronto in full control of the game. Milwaukee called timeout right after.
This was a different Kawhi right here. He was waiting on Giannis. He tried to put something on this one. He put that one down hard.
All right, staying in the East for the conference finals, Giannis carried a Milwaukee team all year that boasted the best regular season record. But that postseason, it's a different beast and one that the Bucks just couldn't slay. Giannis would finish with 21 points, 11 rebounds, but it wasn't enough. Bucks lose the game and the series, dropping 4 in a row after winning the first two. And after the game, the Greek Freak was none too pleased.
Obviously, when you're up 2-0, that doesn't mean nothing. You got to learn how to come out and close out games, especially after game 3. We got to get better as a team, and we got to get better individually. I think it's just the start of a long journey, and we're going to get better, and we're going to come back next year and believe in who we are, believe in what we've built this year, and hopefully we can be in the same situation and be the ones moving forward.
So I'm curious, you guys have talked a lot about how at this point, you know, sometimes it takes experience. I'm wondering if now that you have some of that experience, if you see more validity to that point or what you think about that now that you've gone through it.
All right, Nick, give us a little backstory here. What did you make of Giannis walking out there?
Well, the only potential backstory that people are speculating on is that that reporter that was asking the question had posted right when the game ended a story speculating about Giannis's future in Milwaukee, about could he leave in 2020. Now, do I believe that in the 20 minutes between the game ending and when he sat up there, he not only saw the story, was told about the story, but could identify the reporter? I don't. So that's the only potential backstory. Let's just assume for the moment he just was done. My reaction is, as it almost always is in these situations, I've been very consistent. I give young players a very wide berth on this stuff, and I had no negative reaction whatsoever. I don't know if Giannis didn't want to cry up there. I don't know if Giannis thought he was done. I don't know if Giannis just said, you know what, I've done my media obligations. This is enough for me. I don't know if Giannis was angry and upset. He might say, worried he might say something bad. Maybe when he was asked about experience, there was an experienced player he thought let him down. I don't know what went through his head in that moment. But, guys, we applaud Joel Embiid because after the game, it is so rough on him, he's in tears. We want guys to care so much, but then we want them within 15 minutes to understand that, well, I have to answer every single question. I have to stay up here as long. I understand that's the ideal, But I'm not going to kill Giannis for this. We have seen a lot of guys do much worse things at press conferences by staying. We've seen a lot of guys who treat the media far worse than Giannis does. There are fair criticisms of Giannis in this series about one glaring hole in his game. Him leaving the press conference, to me, I know it's a story because we're talking about it.
Didn't bother you.
But didn't bother me 1%.
It doesn't bother me, but I do want players to be consistent. All right. I didn't think it was a very, very tough question. I thought the question, it did have relevance to the series because it's always the person who's short, who thinks height's not important, who's slow, thinks speed's not important, and the people without experience, you know something? Experience is not that important, you know, because you don't have it. So sit up there the way you have, because this is the one negative thing we have seen with Giannis his whole career. We haven't seen anything. No negative anything. No negative. He's batting 1,000.
Yeah.
You got one more question. It's on the tee. He could knock it out the park. It's not a tough question. I'm not going to get into his mind and everything as far as what he was going through and all that, but it's all part of the job. All right? How you handle your emotions is the reason why you're the captain, is the reason why there's so much visibility on the NBA. You have people yelling on this. Oh, Giannis is getting ready to take the title from LeBron. All right? If he's going to be on that, we're going to keep him to the same standard we'd have for LeBron, for KD, for Steph, for Harden. If any of those guys would have walked out of the press conference, we would have had beef with it. So just be consistent.
But I wouldn't have. I just want to be.
I'm only speaking for myself.
Okay, I just want to say, because I think I am consistent on these points. But go ahead.
Well, at some point, you have to realize I'm a professional. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm not in college. I'm not in high school. It's the NBA Finals. We didn't make it. You have done a great job. I can understand you could be frustrated, but your job is still not done.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to the biggest criticism of Giannis that I think is a fair one, and it's one you've been adamant about throughout the season en route to him winning MVP is, or probable MVP, is what the glaring weakness in his game is. And what we have seen, Jenna, throughout NBA history with the greatest of the greats is once you get to this level in the playoffs, if you have a glaring weakness in your game, it will get exposed. LeBron had won 2 MVPs, but he could not post up yet. And guess what? In 2011, the Dallas Mavericks said, we will make the focal point of our defense what you can't do. Steph had won 2 MVPs, a unanimous MVP, but had a glaring weakness on the defensive end at the time. And the Cavs made the focal point of their offense that weakness. Giannis's glaring weakness was the inability to shoot the mid-range shot, and the Raptors built their defense around that. That, to me, is a very fair criticism, something Giannis has to deal with over the course of the summer, much more than what he did at the end of the press conference.
Do you look at the failure to really perfect the mid-range jumper, or him not obviously shooting it very well, or whatever his game is in the low post, and say, well, that's the reason they lost 4 straight games? Was it because of Giannis's play, the things that he still needs to work on?
Those are part of the reasons, but when you're top of the food chain, when you start picking things apart, you go to that first, because he's so good that he could have such an impact on the game. If he had an intermediate game, they'd be advancing to the finals. If he had a post game, which is not only his fault, but it's the coach's fault. All right, Bud's got to be able to build call plays. Late in the game, they could not put Giannis on the box as a 7-footer and get a bucket because they don't have any type of offense with him playing in the low post. And that right there, they have to be able to work on. They have to be able to put Giannis on the wing because it's harder to double team a wing player than it is a point guard at the top of the key. Every time he drives, for the most part, he's at the top of the key. The defense can sag into the paint. If I put the point guard and I kick it to him on the wing and then he attacks that way, if I have a shooter in the corner, that guy can't come off. So it's pretty much a one-on-one matchup unless I spin back into the left side into the lane. So I believe there's other things that he can add to his game to make improvement, but I'm not going to overreact because he ran into Kawhi Leonard. Because if they get through this series, if they make a bucket late in game number 3, which they're going to have a lead at that point, so the series is going to end up being 4-2, 4-1, something like that, but that didn't happen. And then they advance to the finals against the Warriors. The Warriors don't have anyone that can defend him like Kawhi defends him. And Draymond Green is a great defender, but he's not as good as Kawhi. So I'm not going to overreact because he ran into the claw. That's all part of the NBA, and especially in playoff series basketball, Kawhi got the best of him.
And the Kawhi Leonard point is critical because it's, I believe, he's the best perimeter defender we've had in the league since Scottie Pippen. And I believe if he puts his focus on one player in a series, the way he put it on Giannis after game three, he is going to be able to, and he didn't remove Giannis from the series entirely, but he took a guy who was going to win league MVP and made him look like a borderline all-star. And that is an enormous impact. But to put a button on this, he was asked about experience. By experience, the questioner, I believe, meant lack of guys that have gone deep in the playoffs, lack of guys that played in the finals. The other thing this Bucks team was missing, bless you, Jenna, was experience in close games. And I talked all postseason about the upside of that. 53 wins by double digits, which means you're a great team. You're blowing people out.
Sure.
They had the second fewest wins in basketball by less than 5 points. Only, even though they had the most wins, they won 70 games this year. They only won 4 games all year, see, by less than 5 points. They didn't have a lot of people pressuring them into late game situations during the regular season or the first two rounds of the playoffs. That bit them in this round.
And a lot of people missed out on that because they just think, oh, they'll be okay in those pressure moments. Playoff basketball is totally different. That was the problem with the 98 team I played on with the Vikings. We had largest margin, broke the NFL scoring record in the fourth quarter, didn't play in a lot of games, NFC championship game, game goes into overtime. We weren't ready for it because we were so dominant in the regular season. It's hard to duplicate what you do over 4 or 5 months in the stretch of a month, or in the NBA playoffs in a stretch of 2 months.
An incredible regular season for the Bucks comes to an end. We will take a break. Coming up, are the Warriors now better off without Kevin Durant in the finals? That's next on First Things First.
Is the show going to be better off when you're out, Jenna?
What does that mean? Tiger Woods returns to Pebble Beach, the site of the most dominant major win. His, of course, the U.S. Open begins June 13th on Fox FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
C played Pebble this weekend.
Oh, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Played Pebble Beach this weekend, Jenna.
Very nice.
Kind of.
In the simulator.
A simulator. He was basically
nicer.
There.
Even nicer. You got me. Of course, as always. Time for us to go viral. I'll believe anything. After the Raptors took out the Bucks, the city of Toronto went bananas. Fans took over Jurassic Park to celebrate the team's first ever NBA Finals. There was even a Kawhi lookalike that made an appearance in the crowd and basically showered with MVP chants. That's dangerous. That would be dangerous.
That's fun. There's
Kawhi lookalike.
2,731,571 people in the city of Toronto.
I made them.
I am happy for 2,731,570 of them.
Oh, hold on. No Drake.
Everyone but Drake. Everyone but Drake in the city of Toronto. I'm happy for you.
EBD.
You have supported basketball north of the border. You've made
Cry Me a River.
Well, that's not a Drake song. That's a different song. That's Justin Timberlake. He can actually sing, unlike Drake.
Yeah, but that's what
Drake
he had on his
stick to rapping and whatever. Yeah, Kawhi, you're right. Kawhi Me a River. This is Drake. Zip it. But I'm happy for all the people in Canada. Our friends in Canada, the viewers in Canada.
You ain't got no friends in Canada.
I got friends in Canada. Butch Carter. Take that.
Have you heard from him lately?
Yeah, he was texting. Man, you and him seem to be in a little bit of a brother tiff on this group text we have.
No, I got friends in high places, man.
Uh-huh. What's that got to do with anything?
Sometimes my basketball IQ rivals his, and he's a little...
Oh, you're saying a little brother jealousy.
Yeah, he thinks he's got a TV show, but he don't.
Well, so
he tries to give me tips.
He also tries to book guests for our show, which, by the way, Butch, if you're watching, that guest you tried to book for this TV show, I will take on my radio show later this week. We'll talk about that. Butch Carter, former coach of the Toronto Raptors,
we
by the
are
way.
Going
happy
to
for the people of Toronto, except
very
for Drake.
Happy for the
except for the kid from DeGrasse.
All the kids. Time for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Gillette Clear Gel. A little football talk to kick us off. Todd Gurley saw his production dip late last season due to a recurring knee injury. And the Rams reportedly have genuine concerns about Gurley's nagging knee. See, how worried should the Rams be?
You should be worried about Todd Gurley. If Todd Gurley was a Jerome Bettis, if he was more of a power back, going to get you about 3.8, 4.2 yards a carry, you've been like, okay, the wear and tear, he'll be okay. But, man, he's explosive. His speed is what makes the difference. Getting through the hole, he can score from anywhere on the field. He has rare speed and power combination. That's what makes him one of the elite runners.
If Gurley is not Gurley, if he's compromised, if he's not the running back we have become accustomed to, then the Rams will call it a Super Bowl hangover. But their season will look like a team that is suffering a Super Bowl hangover when they're really suffering from the lack of the most important player on their offense, Todd Gurley. They should be concerned. He is vital to everything they do, and all that pre-snap stuff is to set him up.
Yeah, Jenna, it's important to be Gurley.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Well done.
Okay. And moving on to some moves now.
Jenna didn't like that. Go ahead.
Giannis dropped 21 points, 11 rebounds Saturday, but it wasn't enough. The Bucks lost to the Raptors 100-94, saw their playoff run come to an end. Nick Wright, how much of this loss do you put on Giannis?
Listen, he's the best player. He's going to win league MVP, and they were up 2-0 and they lost four straight. Now, that shouldn't overshadow the fact, in a series we feel like Kawhi dominated him, he averaged 23-14-6 on, believe it or not, a higher field goal percentage than Kawhi. So it was our expectations for Giannis have been up here, which is why it feels like he struggled that way. But he was also up against the best perimeter defender we've had in this league in 20 years. So it's going to happen.
The one thing I'm disappointed with Giannis, I thought he would have defended Kawhi. I thought when Kawhi was getting hot and on some of those runs, I thought they would have put Giannis on him. He's a great defender, maybe the best defender in the league, and he wasn't able to do the same thing that Kawhi was able to do to him. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do, because he's literally going to go to the laboratory and work on some things. Excited to see how good he is in 19.
All right, moving on to LeBron James. If you're wondering how his recruiting tactics are going, just follow his social media. The King recently liked a Photoshop picture of Kyrie Irving in a Lakers jersey on Instagram. Nick, anything to this, or LeBron just bored this offseason?
Well, he might be a little bored this offseason, but what's to it is LeBron would be absolutely thrilled if Kyrie decided to play with the Lakers. He wants Kyrie to play with the Lakers. Our friend Jordan Schultz reported that Kyrie and LeBron were out at Hyde, which is a nice nightclub back in Los Angeles last week. So, yeah, I don't think it's just social media flirting. I think it might be in-person flirting. Now, we'll see what Kyrie's dad has to say about all this, who's a big part of Kyrie's life. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there's something to this.
He better get Kyrie. I mean, he's not going to get KD. He's not going to get Kawhi. Who's up next? Who's the next best player? He is the next player. LeBron better be involved in recruiting if they want to be able to land someone, because I'm concerned about free agency, that when the music stops, the Lakers, no one has a chair for another superstar next to LeBron.
All right, speaking of LeBron, Father Time is not on the Kings' side. The 34-year-old is entering his 17th season and coming off a year where he played a career-low 55 games. But LeBron's new head coach, Frank Vogel, isn't concerned, saying, I believe he's going to be poised for a bounce-back year. Also, what else would he say? Nick, how big of a season are you expecting from LeBron in year 17?
LeBron last year averaged 27-8-9, and so do I think he'll be able to do that in year 17? Well, it was unprecedented for a guy to do it in year 16, but with a full offseason coming in fully healthy, with having, he was used to playing 100-game seasons, now he played a 55-game season, I do think he'll be able to get to that level. But the thing that I thought was more noteworthy that Frank Vogel said was, we're going to have to surround LeBron with shooters. He instantly recognized that that was the biggest mistake the Lakers made. And whether they get Kyrie or not, whether they get the star free agent or not, or trade for Anthony Davis, guys like Terrence Ross, Bojan Bogdanovic, Danny Green, guys that are unrestricted free agents this offseason, who you need to see if you can get in that second wave of free agency to have people on the wings instead of guys similar to Lance Stephenson, I think LeBron's gonna produce no matter what. What will determine how successful the Lakers are if they get the star and if they then fill out the rest of the roster with guys that can shoot the ball, which has always been the key to LeBron James-led teams having great offenses.
Yeah, I'm just glad that they made a 180-degree turn from Magic Johnson, saying we need to get some playmakers. We need to get guys who can make plays with the ball in their hands. No, they don't. You need shooters on the court. LeBron, it's not a bounce-back season. Do we say, is he going to get injured? We don't think he's going to get injured, but his numbers don't need to build a bounce-back. How do the Lakers bounce back? Put together another superstar with LeBron, continue developing these young players. Because, yes, I do believe LeBron, if healthy and the younger players stayed healthy, they could make the playoffs, but they're not going to make a run in the playoffs. LeBron's legacy is about winning, trying to get in the championship, trying to get into the Western Conference Finals. So that's a bounce-back season for me. How do they get the Western Conference Finals? They need to be able to add a couple shooters and at least one star.
All right, trying to get back to the NBA Finals as well, so let's talk about that. Warriors will be traveling north of the border to take on the Raptors in Game 1 on Thursday. Kevin Durant's status has been up in the air as he still nurses that calf injury. But with the Warriors cruising to 5 straight victories without KD, some are wondering if Golden State even needs the services of the back-to-back Finals MVP. Here's Durant on all the noise surrounding his status.
It's hard to get away from that, you know, because I watch the games and you watch the lead up into the games and that's all everybody's talking about. And my perspective is just like I want to focus on rehab, but I also want to be a fan of my teammates, you know what I'm saying? I want to enjoy, you know, my teammates from a different view, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of those guys sit and cheer and cheer for the rest of the guys, the starting guys. Now I get an opportunity to do the same thing. And I turn the TV, since I can't travel with the team, all you hear is the noise, you know what I'm saying? So, as a player, I think about that and I'm just like, that's just not true. You know, that's not facts when it comes to that from a basketball perspective. And, you know, but the competitive side of me, I also like to talk basketball as well. So if you're gonna say something like that, I'm gonna engage in it. So it's all fun, it's all cool, but I know the real. I mean, it's been that way since I got here, is the Warriors and KD, you know what I'm saying? And I understand that. And I felt like my teammates and the organization know exactly what I've done here on and off the court to become a part of this culture, to kind of, you know, kind of stamp my flag in this, you know, in this coach and this organization. I've done in, you know, last 2 years, pretty much everything that they asked me to do, from player, from an ambassador, I guess, of the organization and the community, from, you know, working hard every single day in shoot arounds and practice. So I know what I bring to the team, but I also know that a lot of people on the outside, you know, don't like to see us together. And, you know, I get it.
I like that answer. I liked that whole riff. I liked everything you had to say. Felt honest. It felt like, here's where it's at. This is where the table's set. And now let's just kind of move forward and see what happens. But how badly, Nick, do the Warriors need KD against this Raptors team?
Well, I mean, we don't know if he's going to play, and they're enormous favorites in Vegas when we do our picks.
Without him.
Well, I mean, that's the Vegas. Right. You can make a bet on him now. We don't know if he's going to play. We don't expect him to play at the very least game one. Toronto has home court. And the Warriors are still something like minus 285 favorites in the series. Are the Warriors better without Kevin Durant? That's a question that is an interesting one, but the answer almost has to be no, even though they win at a higher percentage without him. Just logically, it can't be true that they would be better without a player of his caliber. But do they need Kevin Durant? That's not that complicated of a question, and the answer's always been no. They would like to have him, but they don't need him. Can they win this series without him? Absolutely. If he were ruled out today for the rest of the year, do you think there'd be a whole bunch of pundits, not the pundits know everything or anything, picking the Raptors to win the championship? I don't. There'd be slightly more than are going to pick them this week as is. So I understand Kevin Durant's frustration, but when one of the reasons his decision got pilloried differently than other free agent decisions was because the thought process was they don't need you. And then even if he tried to debunk that through his amazing play through 2+ years and then the first half of these NBA playoffs, what the Warriors have done, most notably what Steph Curry has done since he's gone down, has just reinforced the idea of you are a luxury and not a necessity. So I understand where KD would be frustrated. Are the Warriors better without me? Of course they're not better without me. I understand that part of it. But the tougher question is, do they need me? And I believe the answer to that question is unequivocally no.
I don't think they're better without KD. All right. It's just from a logical standpoint, being in too many locker rooms with great players, being in too many locker rooms with marginal players. When you realize you look across the court, across the field, and you're like, man, they're better than us. They got more stars than us. They got more firepower than we do. So we have less margin of error. Because, Nick, last week, the last two weeks, all I've heard is Golden State, what their record is without Kevin Durant. All right? Everyone goes back and forth. Oh, they've won this. They've done this. That's a pace for a record-breaking season. Let me tell you what they haven't done with Kevin Durant. They didn't lose a 3-1 championship lead. They didn't do that. So, Steph Curry, you can tell me all those numbers. Oh, Steph Curry, when he's in the lineup. Steph Curry was on the court when they were up 3-1 to OKC. So, Kevin Durant, you can say, no, the numbers don't say that. But with playoff
basketball. When they were up 3-1 to Cleveland.
To Cleveland, yes. But that's the difference to me. is someone like Kawhi. The reason why they went out and caught KD was for LeBron. Now they're facing a team that's in the top five defensively, top five offensively. There are only two teams this year, Toronto Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks. So in a series where you can clutch, you can grab in the playoffs, you need a Kevin Durant. You need to be able to offset. What about Kevin Durant guarding Kawhi for 20 minutes? Kawhi would have a problem with his limp. So he would have to try to take him inside. He wouldn't be able to shoot over him. So Kevin Durant would be a problem for Kawhi. What about taking some of that energy with Kawhi? You know he's a little bit gimpy. And if he's got to guard KD, if he's got to guard KD 20 to 30 minutes, that's going to take something out of him. So in playoffs, in a series like this, yes, I would prefer to have Kevin Durant because they have someone like Kawhi. If I was going through the regular season, you don't need him. But the one thing they haven't done with KD, they didn't lose a championship. Well, they did lose one with the rest of them.
That's absolutely true. And it was, obviously, the sequence of events was KD without these guys blew a 3-1 lead of his own. Then these guys without KD blew a 3-1 lead of their own. And then together since then, they haven't lost a playoff series. They've only faced elimination one game, that game seven, or two games, game six and seven against the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals last year. But and the numbers are that Chris is talking about is when Steph plays and KD doesn't, they're 34-4. And when KD plays and Steph doesn't, they're 28-18. That's the difference between a team being on a 50-win pace and a 73-win pace. And so that their record with Steph and without KD is better than their record with them both. But the reason that I don't think anyone can make a case they're better without him, even if those numbers are, that's a big sample size, and even if, like I said, their defense is better and Steph is better and Draymond's better, all those things, is right now this moment, Kevin Durant's going to be a free agent this offseason. If you root against the Warriors and you're trying to say they're better off without Kevin Durant or with Kevin, they are worse with Kevin Durant, then in theory you're rooting for him to stay. And nobody that roots against the Warriors is rooting for him to stay because everyone knows they are more dangerous with him. But they don't need him. And everyone wants to feel needed. And for Kevin Durant, and this injury came at almost a cruel time because he was playing at a level where it seemed like they had to have him. He's averaging 39-5-5. And then immediately he goes down and Steph inserts himself in that area of production, 36-8-7. So it's very hard to make the case, given what we've seen over these 5 years, that they have to have Kevin Durant, even against Kawhi Leonard.
But if they didn't need him in the Blazers series, you can make a case that they probably do need him against this Toronto team, especially with Kawhi playing the way we just saw him play.
Toronto is such a better defensive team than the teams they faced in the West. They're so much better. Look at all the minutes during the Portland series, Golden State was down. Golden State, yeah, they did win these games because they have veteran experience, what Milwaukee didn't, so they were able to come back. But if you look at the number of minutes, Portland had the lead. They didn't have a closer, and they didn't have their superstars show up, and they are not a good defensive team. So, I mean, this to me, it's quite simple.
And I think it can boil down to this. Kevin Durant drastically raises the Warriors' floor. He drastically raises what a bad Warriors game is. But it doesn't appear to me he raises their ceiling much at all. The best Warriors game without him and the best Warriors game with him is about the same thing.
Would they have won the Clippers series without KD?
Absolutely. Absolutely they would have won the Clippers series without Kevin Durant. 100%. I believe they would. I mean, we saw that in the Portland series. They would have played.
No. I thought the Clippers were a better matchup than Portland.
Oh, okay, so what I think happened in the Clippers series was one of the reasons that he can do what he did in those final four games and they still lose one of them is everyone else has to take a step back. They just play a different style of basketball without him. And so they're not better without him. But he knows it and the whole basketball world knows it. They don't need him. And they don't necessarily even need him to win a championship this year.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up, speaking of Kawhi, is he the best player in the NBA Finals now? Next on First Things First. Back here on First Things First on this Memorial Day, we're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Sarah Kustoff.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, a holiday with the three of you.
What's better?
There's nothing better.
Yep. That's what I said this morning. It was a Saturday night to remember for Canada. Raptors Game 6. Kawhi Leonard fully justifying that trade to Toronto from San Antonio last year, posterizing Giannis to cap off a 26-3 run by the Raptors. Kawhi finishes 27 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, Raptors advance to the first ever NBA Finals where they'll face the Warriors. Here's Kawhi after that historic performance.
It's great. You know, I worked so hard to get to this point with the season I had last year. You know, just always betting on myself and knowing what I feel and, you know, what's right for me. I don't really judge my, you know, game like that. I'm more of a team aspect, see what my team is doing. Just want to win. I don't care about being the best player. I want to be the best team. I always said that. And, you know, just before the season when we made the trade, Masai felt that way about me. He told me how he felt and why he made the trade. And, you know, it's turning out. It's turning out well now. I mean, we're in the finals and we're not done yet.
Kawhi is like, I don't know how many more good things I can say about him, right? I mean, he's just so good. And again, I'm seeing a level of competitive greatness out of him. I mean, it's just his willing us to win and him willing grabbing those rebounds and willing those shots in almost, it seems like, and going down and locking up somebody and taking the ball from them. It just, it's what it is. It's great competitive.
All right, Sarah, how did the Raptors do it? We all thought, a lot of people did, that they were left for dead at 0-2, but they somehow, not UCC, they somehow managed to win.
Did you believe even
four
after?
This is what, I've seen too much playoff basketball, and I've seen it change in games three and four. But a team that has not proven it, like Milwaukee, like I did, I'm not going to grant them, oh, they are a championship team. And because of who I work with, it's like whatever team you're on. Right now, Steph Curry realizes we got a little less offense. So to create balance for the show, I have to
you're
do
gonna toss
a
Nick
lot
in this already.
Oh, that's fine. No, that's
I
fine.
I got to do a lot of work
that's
to
fine.
Build balance out this.
I was all in on Milwaukee. I think even Chris thought Milwaukee was the heavy favorite up
yeah, I thought they were a better team.
Right, but that not that they were necessarily going to – that the series wasn't over. I did think the series was over. And so to re-tee Jenna's question – how did you think they were able to do
it? You were not the only one that thought that Milwaukee was a heavy favorite. But let's not forget, these were the top two teams with the top two records in the NBA. This was an extraordinary series. But I think it all starts, we watched Kawhi, we listened to how he spoke, not just after that game, but throughout the entirety of this whole series, of this whole postseason. Kyle Lowry said it. There was a steadiness to him. There is a way in which he has the same unwavering confidence regardless of the situation and circumstance. I think that filtered down to his team. And that was a hard-fought game three for them to come back in the manner of which they did, the double overtime win to be able to take care of their home court and head back to Milwaukee. But I think everything about this win was predicated on their defense. Milwaukee finished the regular season fourth offensive rating in the league. No one could figure out how to stop Giannis. No one could figure out how to stop them, put them in the half court, slow down the freight train that he is, you know, whether it's in transition or in the half court. And the switch that was made in game three by Nick Nurse to have Kawhi Leonard as his primary defender, switching up a few things with the defense, going to more of zone looks. But in the entirety of this last game, and it's what it showed throughout the course of this series, their rotations were on point. Communication was extraordinary. This was the type of stuff that is the elite type of defenses in the postseason that changed what Milwaukee could do offensively. Mm-hmm. To me, that ultimately won them the series.
All right, so there's the micro and the macro. The micro is this. The Milwaukee Bucks play a very high variance level of basketball because of how many threes they allow and how many threes they shoot. The only team that shoots more threes is the Rockets. Why do the Rockets play that way? Obsessed with beating the Warriors. They know the Warriors are more talented. They know the Warriors are better, so they want to bring variance into it. Milwaukee played that way, turned into this juggernaut, and then the variance went against them the final two games of this series. Toronto in both those games shot over 40% from three. Milwaukee in game five only made 10 threes in game six. Made six threes in the first quarter, and the rest of the game was 6 of 28 from three. With two makes from Giannis, the rest of the team was 4 of 24 from three in quarters two through four. So that bit them. Fred VanVleet catches fire in games 4, 5, and 6. That bit them. But the micro is this, or the macro is this, I'm sorry. The Raptors had a closer, and right now the Bucks did. And I love Giannis. I said I would adopt Giannis. He is my favorite player to watch currently playing.
He's literally four years
but
younger
he's,
than you.
Okay, that's fair enough. But he
can
is,
I adopt him?
He is, but he has a glaring hole in his game, and it got exploited.
And it's a hole that they no one's been able to exploit all year. But no matter how great of a player you are, you can be LeBron James. Oh, you can't post up? Guess what? It's all we're going to ask you to do. Oh, you're Steph Curry? You struggle on defense? How about we just run you through 75 pick and rolls and see if it wears you down in the 2016 NBA Finals? For Giannis, it was, you won't shoot that mid-range. It was, we will let you get to 12 feet, and if you pull up from there, our defense is drawing dead. And on the flip side, the Raptors' best player, Kawhi Leonard, right now has no weaknesses in his game. The one weakness was he doesn't pass. Okay, well, now he had career-high 9 assists in Game 5 and then 7 assists in Game 6. And at the end of games, the Raptors could just give the ball to Kawhi and say, make the right play, and the Bucks could not do that with Giannis.
And Giannis has got to get some help from Coach Bud. Because, Nick, you talked about the evolution of Giannis and the difference between Jason Kidd as a head coach and Coach Bud. But Coach Bud had no answers. The reason why you can get him in the half court, you can take the ball out of Giannis's hand, you can crowd the lane. They play the number one defense. When you're teaching basketball, you teach defense, because kids ain't going to play man-to-man. You teach them a 2-3 zone or a 3-2 zone. That's all they did against Giannis. They played the 3-2 zone, him coming down the middle. We're going to chip into the paint. We're going to be able to get out on the wing players. So they didn't have a game plan to put Giannis in the low post. If they had put him in the low post against Kawhi, oh, they would have had trouble, because all you do is throw the ball in. If they decide to double team, he kicks it straight out for an open three-point look. And Giannis does not know how to attack the defense on either wing. He only attacks when he's at the point guard and at the top of the key. If he was on the wing, because they have such prevalent good corner shooters, the corner can't help him. So if he developed a wing game to go with the low post game, I believe that that's the Giannis we're going to see.
But I think a part of that is what you need to do throughout the course of the series, even put him in different places and points of attack. And for Milwaukee, the offense was just too predictable. There wasn't many changes. So how good Toronto's defense was also was in part because what they saw to the Bucks was very much the same throughout the course of the entire series.
You look at Kawhi now. Was Kawhi the first of all, was he the best player in that series? And will he be the best player moving forward in the next series?
I think without a doubt. First part of your question, I think without a doubt he was the best player in that series, the previous series we just saw. And I'm not sure going into that series, I think it was up for, at least in my mind, up for debate whether it would be Kawhi or Giannis. I think clear-cut Kawhi was not only what he did offensively, defensively, but the little thing. I mean, think about all the rebounds that he got, the offensive rebound. He had game-changing plays throughout the course of all six of those games. I'm not sure, though, as we head into the finals, what's Steph Curry going to look like? He's been excellent throughout the course, especially of these last six games playing without Kevin Durant. Is Kevin Durant going to come back? So I think it's going to be fun to see what players come out at the stage that we're getting set to see.
If Kevin Durant was to rush himself and come back, it wouldn't even be fair to put him in it, because I still believe the calf will be a lingering issue if he was on the court. But if we're judging basketball the way the basketball game should be played, there's 94 feet. There will be no question in this final who's the best player, and that's Kawhi Leonard. Because what he does on the defensive end, if you're looking at real basketball, and the reason why it was a great comparison with him and Giannis, because we have two of the top five defenders we have in the league. Both of them playing on the court at the same time. It's different with Steph Curry. He has no rating as a defensive player. It's predictable what he's going to look like on defense. Steph on offense, he'll be amazing. Now, it's just a matter of if Kawhi puts up the same numbers that he put up in round one, round two, and in the finals, we know what he's going to do on the defensive end. I believe Kawhi Leonard would be the best player on the court.
And the other thing, however you tier Kawhi, KD, and Steph, what Kawhi has unequivocally answered is you can trust him as your closer. And that was something that we hadn't seen him do on this type of stage in San Antonio, because he hadn't been on this type of stage. The last time he played in a conference finals game, a full game, was 2014.
And people who watch basketball, people in the media, everyone wants to give San Antonio credit for all of Kawhi. Oh, they developed him. Oh, he did this. Oh, that looked like Kawhi Leonard. It's time for us to start giving Kawhi credit for developing his game.
No doubt about it. But the point that I'm making is Kawhi, the Spurs actually, I think people have forgotten, hadn't made it back to it. They won the title in 2014. They only made the conference finals 1 year between now and then. And that was the year that Kawhi got hurt in the third quarter by Zaza Pachulia. So we hadn't seen him on this level of stage close people out. the Raptors had, starting with, really, I would say, maybe going into the series, but certainly by game three, even though they were down 2-1 after game three, they knew if it is close late, it favors us. If it is close late, it favors our role players, and it favors Kawhi because we don't have to scheme up something for him. We can just give him the ball and he'll figure it out. That is an enormous edge that I didn't know going into this series Toronto would have,
right,
because we hadn't seen Kawhi do it as this level of his career. We now have seen it.
All right, sir, stick around. Take a break. Coming up, can the Warriors complete the three-peat without Durant? That's next up, First Things First. Back here with Sarah Kustoff, and we're going viral. Steve Kerr will have the tough task of figuring out how to stop Kawhi Leonard, and he's reaching out to just about everyone for help. Check out this picture someone snapped of Kerr having dinner with Greg Popovich.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh.
Basketball Forever captioned it, "Tell me everything about Kawhi."
All right. I love the fact that if you look, it looks like Pop's wearing just some logoed T-shirt at probably what ended up being about a $12,000 dinner, knowing how Pop does things. That, I bet that was a four-hour dinner with over under at 6.5 bottles of wine, Pop, Kerr, and whoever else was there.
I thought you were going to give the tab on that.
Oh, yeah.
Given the wine
we're
that
into five figures, I would imagine. There's a great story about Pop and the Spurs family and the wine, but I don't know what Kerr's going to – I don't know what Kerr can glean from Pop that we haven't been watching on full display in these NBA playoffs. I imagine Kerr's been watching the games. What up, C?
I screwed up.
Oh, that's what Pop's going to tell him?
Yeah.
That might be true.
I should have hired that other doctor, the one that Kawhi knew for the second opinion.
Right.
Dang.
Everything's coming to light.
Sarah, we're talking the NBA Finals here. Warriors will travel north of the border to take on the Raptors on Thursday. Kevin Durant's status has been up in the air as he nurses that calf injury. But with the Warriors cruising to five straight wins without KD, some wondering if Golden State even needs the services of the back-to-back finals MVP. Here's Durant and all the noise surrounding his status.
It's hard to get away from that, you know, because I watch the games and you watch the lead up into the games and that's all everybody talking about. And my perspective is just like I want to focus on rehab, but I also want to be a fan of my teammates, you know what I'm saying? I want to enjoy, you know, my teammates from a different view, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of those guys sit and cheer and cheer for the rest of the guys, the starting guys. Now I get an opportunity to do the same thing. And I turn the TV, since I can't travel with the team, all you hear is the noise, you know what I'm saying? So as a player, I think about that and I'm just like, that's just not true. You know, that's not facts when it comes to that from a basketball perspective. And, you know, but the competitive side of me, I also like to talk basketball as well. So if you're gonna say something like that, I'm gonna engage in it. So it's all fun, it's all cool, but I know the real. I mean, it's been that way since I got here, is the Warriors and KD, you know what I'm saying? And I understand that. And I felt like my teammates and the organization know exactly what I've done here on and off the court to become a part of this culture, to kind of, you know, kind of stamp my flag in this, you know, in this coach and this organization. I've done in, you know, last 2 years, pretty much everything that they asked me to do, from player, from an ambassador, I guess, of the organization and the community, from, you know, working hard every single day in shoot-arounds and practice. So I know what I bring to the team, but I also know that a lot of people on the outside, you know, don't like to see us together. And, you know, I get it.
So, Sarah, here's the real. KD, he's telling exactly what's on his mind. That is exactly, like, I had no issue with what he said. I loved it.
That
I loved what he had to say. That was the real right there. So,
well done.
Thank you very much. What do you think, Sarah? How badly do the Warriors need KD? And not just need KD, but need KD against this specific team, against the Raptors.
I'll say this. I think it, regardless of all the noise, the discussion, how the Warriors have been playing without Kevin Durant, they are a much better team when Kevin Durant is in the lineup and when he could play. However, I don't think that they need Kevin in order to give themselves an opportunity to win the finals. And I think there's a balance between that, and there's levels of when you say how badly do they need Kevin Durant. I think this team believes that they could still win the finals even if Kevin Durant is not healthy enough to return. Would they love to have him back? Absolutely. But the way in which they function offensively, how they play, the roles that everyone is put into, not just Steph and Clay, but specifically Draymond Green, and how he's able to be utilized as a quarterback, as a facilitator, the more touches everyone gets because it's not going to Kevin Durant. We've seen in what, the last 32 games, they're 31-1 when Steph plays and Kevin Durant does not play. So I think, regardless, this is going to be a challenging finals. I'm excited to see it because I think Toronto is playing well. They've got a ton of momentum. Mm-hmm. They've got confidence in how they've been playing. They have a closer and a elite player in Kawhi Leonard, though I think the Warriors, to me, are still the favorite heading into this, even without Kevin Durant.
And that's not just because they are overwhelmingly talented. It is because I would not feel this way if it was Steph out and KD in. This team has to have Steph Curry because without Steph Curry, Draymond's effectiveness, it's not that it drops. It becomes almost non-existent on the offensive end. He'll always be important on the defensive end, but Draymond's offense, what it needs to have Steph and the gravity Steph has to pull people away from the basket, and Draymond is that secondary playmaker. Klay Thompson, his value is still there, but it's muted to a degree because he is such a limited ball handler that he has to have Steph out there doing that for him because Klay, with respect, can't dribble with his head up, much less be a playmaker off the dribble. So it is not an indictment on Durant's skill as a player. It is an indictment on Durant's necessity to the team that he's on. Because they have, are they better with him or without him? Even though the numbers actually say they're better without him, logic in the eye test says, no, they're scarier and they're better and they have more ways to beat you with him. But do they need him? No. They didn't need him before he got there. They don't need him now. And that is what is so frustrating for KD, because I understand it. He's like, man, I'm watching the games. It's not like he didn't say I'm surfing all the channels, watching all the shows like this. He said I'm watching the games. And what's the discussion right before the game? Yeah. Do they need me? What are they going to do if I'm not here? And I get why that would be frustrating. But it's also frustrating because, to use what he's saying, that is facts. It is facts that they don't need you. And that is what is tough when he sees, like, Durant wanted them to beat the Blazers, but he wanted it to go six. He wanted them to at least have some type of struggle there, I would imagine. I can't speak for him, but that's how I would be if I were him. I'd want to for it to be obvious I add value, and that didn't show up in that series.
This is the real Jenna. Kevin Durant, he was getting 35 in the first round against the Clippers. Steph's in the lineup. So KD, no matter what, he don't care who's on the court. So this seems to be the problem. Steph feels like he got more freedom if KD's not on the court. Because when we've seen KD not be there, Steph's averaging 36. KD was averaging 35. We act like Steph's averaging 45 now, and KD was only averaging 25. Like, KD was getting his no matter what. Now, Steph, there are more shots. Do they play with a different style? Absolutely. But for 101 minutes compared to 83 minutes, the Portland Trailblazers had the lead. Portland is not one of the elite teams in the NBA. So for me, even though they did win the series 4-0, man, there was some struggle with the Warriors, even with Portland. Portland was one of the worst defending teams, especially the worst one of the final four.
Yeah.
They've never been a good defensive team. So there was some struggle there with the Warriors. So I know the word need is a strong word. They are a better team regardless of what the numbers say with Kevin Durant. Give me 80 games of playoff basketball, the clutching and grabbing. And you give me 80 games without KD in the playoffs, because the one thing KD has on his resume, these Warriors, they can have all those regular seasons. But they had a 3-1 lead. They lost that lead and lost a championship. KD wasn't on that team. What they've done since then is do nothing but winning. They got KD for LeBron James. Now, will they need him against Kawhi? I do believe that they will need him.
But let's just look at the last series, the last couple games. They didn't dominate the Blazers. They were down by double digits in almost every single game.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
17-point deficits in each of the last three games.
And that's something.
I agree. I also think this Warriors team, though, when that's the nuances of their offense, when Kevin Durant is not in, how defenses need to play helps how they're able to defend the other guys. So there are so many instances that the Warriors have utilized how they've played when they haven't had KD, where so many of those other, think about the players like Kevin Looney that we talked about, McKinney, all of those players, they were able to be more productive because how the defenses have to guard the other players, where they put them in help side. You think you can lay off a guy and then all of a sudden where they're placing them on the floor makes a major impact.
And the point that C made about those complimentary players that I hadn't heard anyone make, but I think it's a brilliant one, is they're better defensively when they are getting involved offensively, and they're more likely to get involved offensively when it's that motion, everyone touches the ball, strength and number style of offense. But, and you're right, C.
Yeah, imagine if we had you on the show, we didn't let you talk.
35 points per game for Kevin Durant.
I just imagined it. Okay.
35 points per game for KD before he got hurt, 36 for Steph since then. That's one number. The other number is this. The Warriors were 6-4 in those 10 games before KD got hurt. They're 5-0. In the five games since then, with the one game being, we're not including the game he got hurt in, they're tied when he goes down.
And they were a great matchup for those teams. Does the Rockets team, they were a great matchup without KD for a game and a quarter.
Sure.
And the Portland?
Well, fair enough, but the most, what we know is that they have found a way to win without losing. They're trailing, fine, without losing. I don't think they could do that without Steph. I think the numbers show without Steph, they are beatable. Without Kevin Durant, or with Kevin Durant, nobody's been able to beat them over these last 3 years. We'll see what Toronto can do.
All right, it's real talk. Sarah, we'll see you a little bit later on. Coming up, which one of CC's former quarterbacks is Dak Prescott getting compared to? That's next on First Things First. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.